So when you're working with AI in the office, there's two basic approaches that we're going to talk about. I mean, everything fits into these two ways of doing it. One of them, I just call it working with AI. And then there's another approach where it's operational. So that's where you're going to be building something that's going to be autonomous and there's programming. And, you know, they tell you it's going to be easy, but there's going to be some project manager who's responsible for building things. Those are the two different ways that this is going to work. Today, we're just going to talk about normal work. And if you think that AI is scary or requires programming skills or something that you don't know how to do, we're going to dispel that myth. And we're just going to show you some basic examples of what this is capable of. When we're talking about working with AI, one approach some people are using is called Ultron. So this means you're going to give this nefarious robotic AI thing access to a bunch of your stuff, and it's going to be a supervillain. I don't know why that name stuck, but we're going to use that name. And so the episode today is called Age of Ultron. And so we're going to show you what it looks like when you just give your control over to it, and you're going to give it a little direction and then see what it does. Also, keep in mind that your approach for when you talk to AI is basically pretending you're talking to somebody who has an IQ of 70, who that person is talking to somebody with an IQ of 200. That is how you really need to think about this. And if you do this properly, you're going to get surprising results. So here's my Ultron setup for our business. Our business does medical training, and I did not do any programming for this at all. It has one instruction file, and it just tells it to open my browser, so that's the secret, and whatever's in my browser, it can touch. And so we're gonna give it a very complex task, something that I've put off for about 5 years. I had hired somebody who's working on this, that person's not available, and this project we're about to do right now could easily take somebody a year to do. So we're going to see if we can just start it now and see how far we get. So the task is we're going to re-engage with our largest customers over the past 20 years. So we're going to make a list of them. We're going to figure out how to get in touch with them and do stuff and figure things out and sort and manage and all that. That's about as much direction as I need to give this, but we got to dumb it down a little bit. So let's get started. And we're using VS Code. So VS Code is connected to Copilot. Copilot has different models, and today we're going to burn a lot of money, and we're going to use Opus 4.6 fast mode. So it's going to spend money real fast, so you don't get bored watching it. Go ahead and open Gmail for my Gmail account, and then open our customer support Gmail. That's a separate account that I'm also already logged into. And then open FreeScout, which is where our customer support interactions are, and then go find my journal in Google Docs. I have some journal notes there that we're going to need to search through. That's how you talk to it. That's one query. Okay, so this is proceeding along. I haven't really learned anything that I didn't know yet. Why don't you skip down to row 300, our new system might not even have any data about them. You might need to go to the tab with our Gmail in our team page, which is where you ran that report. You are also able to go to the homepage of the team page in order to look up the customer group in the search box, and that'll tell you which customers are there. And you might even be able to click one of those customers and then click through to the customer group, if there's a customer group, and it might even tell you the administrative contacts. You might be able to look up those specific email addresses or something. But there's a lot of approaches you can use, and just giving you a couple hints here. So gracefully finished the one that was working on, and then kind of waited for the right moment, and then digested what I told it. And now it's getting into this old customer that we haven't talked to in years. It did a search for it. It's got 1 month, 2 month, 4 month ago, but then it's got 10 years, 20 years ago. Oh, it actually did find a recent customer that our system didn't even know about. So we had that report there where it was summarizing the data for each of our customers, but this one wasn't picked up. They might even have a new email domain. So now it's going to start looking up using Gmail and Freescout and our team page for the different company names on the list. Think about using internet search to look up these companies and see if perhaps some of the email addresses have changed to a new domain name. So this might allow us to merge, suck in old data, cut over accounts or something to combine them into the correct entities that we should be thinking about. This analysis could be a separate column in our primary work file, whether we need it now or we need it later. Okay, so it's starting to figure out the difference between groups where there's multiple people from the same company buying from us versus where there's some administrator who's buying on behalf of other people. So it's starting to figure that out. That's a really important thing that you need to know about our business. It's also picking up that some people are using personal email addresses versus company email addresses, and that's a little different. Also, obviously, it's a lot easier to find customers from the same group if they're all using the same email address, but that is not the case at our business. So if your business has any type of confusing customer data like that, and you don't have this beautiful CMS and onboarding process that just collects all the data properly, you can see that this is really helpful. It appears that it's looking at patterns. It's looking for ones that are staffing agencies. So it's just taking the email address or these smashed together company names I have without spaces in them, and it's recognizing that some of them are well-known staffing agencies. So it's looking at them as a group, and of course it knows everything, so it just knows these are staffing agencies without looking, you know, just knows the name of these companies, so that it decided to look at them that way. I didn't even tell this thing about how the sales cycle works. I didn't tell it that each individual has their own expiration dates for buying our stuff. The group as a total is not expiring. They're not cycling at the group level. They're cycling at the individual level. It just figured that out intuitively. So just because I'm bored, I'm going to open another browser. So I would like to know what data sources it's relying on. It's relying on TeamPage. I'm a little bit unhappy with its approach. I am reviewing your work in the customer group re-engagement analysis file, and I noticed that your primary evidence links are only the team page, and you've come to some conclusions, such as not a real group or something, many members, duplicate, tracked under something. Some of these conclusions are decent, but when you say not a real group, it's not immediately obvious to me that you have a full understanding of this, because the team page is just a list of order data. But perhaps there are actual conversations we are having with these people. Again, I remind you that in order to look up these conversations beyond a certain point, I don't know if it's 2024 or 2025, which is the oldest data that we have in Freescout, you might need to use Gmail, the support at email address in Gmail, in order to directly look up either the company name or the name of the customer or that specific email address. And again, you can find specific email addresses of customers for a specific customer group by first looking at the team page for the customer group and then seeing the list of the individual email address customers. So then you can take those customer email addresses, you can look them up one by one in Gmail, and then see, do we have any discussions with them? And you know, the same type of research you were doing before. Why don't you try that again? You can start with row 299 in the file, the one you had started in this batch that you kind of just kicked off. And maybe you can try again with this. And I'm also interested for you to tell me in this chat box here if this other approach is fruitful at all to you. You are searching the wrong Gmail account. You have to use the second account that I'm logged into. Whoa, okay. Gmail, extremely fruitful. It's getting late on a Friday here, so let's get a little bit crazy now. Okay, let's wrap this up before we turn off for the day. Go ahead and update your notes in the work log to say what you've done. Create an instruction file to describe this special task that we're working on. include insights and heuristics you would need to explain to somebody else if they were working on this project and didn't have anything to work on. In fact, give them a complete instruction that they can just read from the beginning, and it would be self-contained, and they would pick it up, and they would be just as productive as you are right now. You ever tell your staff to do that before? Oh, remember all this stuff I just coached you on in the past 2 hours? Go write that down so you don't forget it, and so I can give it to other people. And then what you get back is nothing. You get back chicken scratch. Oh, I wrote it down on this notepad. How about you type this up so I can copy paste it for other people? Yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. So this is what humans are terrible at, and they're terrible at replication. Now we're gonna do the crazy thing. Okay, so just dump this brain into this file. Psych, just kidding. Proceed where you were at and keep going. So now we're gonna open another window. Go read the in-progress work file and the done work and study the progress of the customer group re-engagement instructions project. And go ahead and work on that project yourself, starting at the bottom of the file. We need to be a little bit clever about this because you and another robot are going to be working using the same browser at the same time. So we don't want you to collide. Let's have you be sure to open new tabs for all of the things that you are working on. And when you navigate to a tab, ensure that the URL always ends with a fragment or a query string parameter that includes Ultron instance equals 2. If you see that slug there, you know it's you accessing it. And if you don't, then don't access it. Actually, this seems like an important convention we're going to use going forward. So why don't you save that into the Copilot instructions file? We are now going to have multiple Ultron instances working at the same time and accessing the same browser. So we need to have some convention to prevent you guys from collaborating each other's access to the web browser. Go ahead and see the updated instructions that we left you into the Copilot instructions file, and do note that you are Ultron instance number 1. It's a fancy little trick. I guess I could have created multiple browser profiles, but then I would have needed to log into each. Each one of them would have had to log into Gmail and my support email, this and that and that. And then Gmail would have flagged me because I logged in too many times with too many browsers at the same time. And then I'm going to say, keep going. And we're just going to let it keep going. So peace out. I'll let you know how this goes. Already this far, it has given us great results. It's given us research on 25 of our biggest customers, 30. And that's significant. We just need to do that 20 more times and then prepare emails and a bunch of other stuff. But already this is replacing a significant amount of research that we had to do. Hopefully it finds some insights that we didn't even know about our own customers and that we never cared or bothered to spend the time to go figure out. So that is good business. And that is table stakes for 2026. Peace.